Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Nice to be on with you.
Thanks for doing this. Listen, let's just get, before we get to the Raps, Cavs, LeBron is in town tonight with his supporting cast, which will be a great game. Let's talk Manziel. Now, I don't know if it's possible to feel sorry for him or if you're a Clevelander. I don't know if it's possible to look at this as anything other than just a massive waste of everybody's time.
Well, you would think so, and I would certainly think so, but I was stunned yesterday. I was actually double hosting yesterday, morning and afternoon, and when the news broke that Mike Pettine thought, you know, there might, that he was thinking of benching Johnny Manziel, about half the callers, which, you know, doesn't mean it's half the fan base, but it means it's a fair amount of people, felt like Johnny Manziel did what anybody has the right to do on his off week, go party, you know, he's of legal drinking age, he can drink. I was stunned by that because he promised the Browns before the off week that he wouldn't be a distraction. I mean, he certainly was a distraction, and so later in the day when they demoted him to third team, the fans and some of them got even angrier. So it seems like now we're looking at a segment of Cleveland that's Johnny Manziel fans more than their Browns fans, and I don't really know why, because he hasn't really earned anything. He was given the job last year because Hoyer struggled, and he's given the job this year because there's six games left and they want to find out about him, and he's only 1-4 as a starter, but there are people who love him for whatever reason.
You know, not the first time he's been in trouble this year, too, and you would think off of 10.5 weeks in rehabilitation for alcohol addiction and as making those promises as he has, you know, you wouldn't have heard about a phone call and a domestic dispute with his girlfriend and a Ranger over in a side road in suburban Cleveland. You wouldn't have seen a video of him on TMZ with some kind of shiny bottle full of liquid that appears to be alcohol. You know, you wouldn't have seen that. And I'm wondering, you know, if you've talked to him or you know enough about him to know, like, listen, you know, the walk doesn't match the talk. Right. You know, and at some point, those two things got to come together for you to say, OK, this is our guy moving forward. And then you got to ask the question, if you have talked to him, what kind of impression you get about him as an individual and where he's at? And the other question is there room for him in Cleveland anymore?
Well, I don't think there's room for him in Cleveland with the head coach, but I don't know that there's room for the head coach in Cleveland anymore or the GM beyond this season. The owner loves Johnny Manziel, and he's like a spoiled child who knows that dad will always forgive whatever he does. Now, in terms of him talking, you'll never get a guy to say the right thing better than Johnny Manziel. I mean, he grew up in the SEC. He had the Johnny Football persona. He dealt with all the SEC media madness. He will tell you, look you in the eye, and tell you every single time the exact right thing. I've got to do better. I know I got to apply myself, on and on and on and on. But his actions, as you pointed out, are just empty words. I mean, I was stunned when he had that incident in Cleveland where he was driving 90 miles an hour on the berm of the road, passing cars, pushing his girlfriend's head against the side of the car. I mean, that's, you know, the triple threat. That's ridiculous driving, admitting you had been drinking in the afternoon after being in rehab, and at least around the fringes of domestic violence. The Browns did nothing to him. The NFL did nothing to him. So I guess when you don't do anything to him, why would he think that at any point in time there'd ever be consequences for anything he does? And I'm not a guy who has been against Manziel since he got to Cleveland. I thought it was a great idea to draft him. I know a lot of guys at ESPN who I've worked with before who sat in production meetings with him and assured me he's a guy who's motivated and will really apply himself and burns to be great. I thought, you know, the Browns needed a transformative, not just player, but sort of personality, and he fit all that. But nothing that he says ever matches up with what he does. And then you get on the field and you see that his stature puts him at an extreme disadvantage of being an NFL quarterback. And when you add all that up to me, we've reached a point where it's just not worth it anymore. I mean, these things continue to happen because Browns ownership allows them to continue to happen. And I think at some point, you've just got to say he's not worth the distraction that he is.
You know, the natural question is to ask you what happens next in that saga, but I think that's a bit of a mug's game because there's so many curveballs being thrown by Johnny Manziel in this saga. So I want to move on to something else. Mark Shapiro is a guy who you would be familiar with in Cleveland. Do you envision, he's got a reputation of being a guy who would never probably shell out the sort of money that David Price is looking for. Can you envision him doing just that and going out and spending $180, $200 million on David Price?
Well, not the Mark Shapiro that I knew, because he never had that kind of coin to spend. But I have a lot of respect for Mark. He's a very difficult assessment for me to make, because I've spent some time with him, you know, in one-on-one situations. He does a tremendous job articulating and explaining the message and the challenges facing any organization. The challenges for the Blue Jays are way different than for the Indians. The Indians don't have the money to pay free agents. They don't have a lot of downtown residents in Cleveland, so selling tickets is difficult. I mean, Toronto is just, I'm glad for Mark that he's in Toronto, because he's a great baseball man. He absolutely loves the game. He's a wonderful people person. Just, he's a class individual. I can't say enough nice things about Mark Shapiro, the person. But it's a little bit like, you know, somebody who's lived on a budget all their life hitting the lottery. You don't really know how they're going to spend. You don't really know how they're going to comport themselves. I wonder, you know, if ownership tells him, go ahead and spend it. He very well might, you know, because he certainly made an offer to Justin Masterson in Cleveland that was way beyond what the Indians were comfortable with. And thank goodness for them, Masterson turned it down, or it would have crippled the Indians franchise. So from time to time, he will make that kind of an offer if he feels like it's a player that makes a difference between him winning a World Series or not. So that's an interesting case to watch, and I really cannot predict what Mark will do regarding David Price.
Bruce, the Cavaliers are in town to face off against our Raptors tonight, and we saw LeBron walk off the court over the weekend, and kind of an interesting move on his part. How did that play up in Cleveland?
By interesting, well, do you mean suckhole-filled
right.
move?
By interesting, I mean like selfish, you know, brain cramp, I guess. And he admitted that after the game. Listen, guys, all of us in Cleveland remember the 4 years without him and the high point being a 33.
So it doesn't matter what he does.
He can do whatever he wants.
The first time he was there, the narrative was, man, we got to get a control of this guy. Like, he's got all his buddies hanging around a team, and he's got way too much power. And then he went to Miami and played in four straight finals, and we're like, yeah, that looks like that might be fun. Let's hope he comes back. So he's here, and the reason Kevin Love is here is because LeBron's here, and they've got a really good team. I'm really anxious to see them and how they're going to reincorporate Kyrie Irving in the lineup when that happens, because they've become a better team this year because they've started to really emphasize getting the ball to Kevin Love. And I don't know how that's going to work when Kyrie comes back. But, no, there's not a whole lot of accountability for LeBron James, because we all remember what it was like without him.
Yeah, well, listen, it's been funny to watch, specifically in the playoffs last year and with your head coach, but a lot of fun. Thanks for doing this very much. And by the way, Kyrie Irving is not back tonight, is he?
No.
Good.
I mean, I'd be stunned if he is.
All right.
I'm looking more toward Christmas than Thanksgiving.